Welcome to the Sportscast, September 1st, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you haven't yet, and also you can listen to us on your online digital radio. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts, also Spotify. And of course, you can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. 6 days till the NFL season begins. And a lot going on, a lot of previewing. I had my fantasy draft last night, and I was able to definitely look at the players, what's going on. But join us today. We're going to preview a little bit on the NFL. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
San Diego, it is good. The calendar is September. Summer is winding down, and time to talk a lot about football.
A lot going on with football. Let's start with college football, because Ryan knows it's college football. Last night, Florida lost against Utah. It was I don't know what the predictions was, but Bryson Barnes threw a 70-yard touchdown pass to Moni Parks on Utah's first play of the game, rushed for another score, and number 14 Utes beat Florida 24-11 on Thursday night college football. Your thoughts, your Gators lost on the first game of the season.
Yeah. They didn't just lose San Diego. They were punished, you know. Utah prides themselves on being kind of the big bully, physical, and they really pushed the Gators around for, you know, pretty much from the start to finish. A little bit of background, I'm not sure if people understand. Utah was playing without their star quarterback, Cam Rising. He hurt himself, his knee, in the last game of the season in the Rose Bowl. Tried to heal up in time for the game, but it just wasn't happening. So I think there was this feeling that because he wasn't playing, that Florida would have a good shot at victory. And but you know, like I said, Barnes comes in first play of the game and hits him with a 70-yard pass. And really, Utah took control and never really gave it up. And Florida just didn't look. You know, you're hoping in year two and the Billy Napier thing to start to come together. Not saying they won't. It's still the first game of the year in a tough environment. But it didn't look right last time for sure.
Nate Johnson, he split time at quarterback with Barnes with the Utes, with usual starter Cam Rising still recovering from a knee injury, as Ryan said, in the Rose Bowl. Utah clamped down on defense and Rising's absence, forcing a turnover and getting 5 sacks. Graham Mertz threw for 333 yards, a touchdown, and an interception for his first start for the Gators. Ricky Purcell had 92 yards, Ryan, on 8 catches. Florida drove inside the red zone 4 times, but totaled only 10 points on those drives. Your thoughts on the Gators' offense?
Yeah, I mean, Billy Napier wants to do one thing, and that's be physical himself, run the ball. And I think they ended up with, you know, just what, 13 yards on 24 carries. So definitely not productive running. Diamond, you know, looks pretty good throwing the ball. I think 333 yards, I believe, was his career high in passing. More than he ever did in Wisconsin. They had glimmers, and, you know, problem was they couldn't finish drives in the red zone early on. I think it could have been a little bit different. And just, like you said, without, you know, the full complement of balanced offense, Florida just really wasn't able to take a firm control of the game.
How do you think Florida Gators would do this season? Any predictions, anything that you think, how many wins and all that?
You know, Vegas is over under with 5.5 games. So Vegas doesn't think they'll go to a bowl game. I think after last night, you know, I think you're probably looking at, you know, a 7-5, 6-6, 5-7 type of team. You know, they have a good base. You know, they recruited well last year. And then right now they have the top 5 recruiting class in the country for the next year. So all the Gators fans, I tell you one thing, be patient. Let Billy continue to build a culture. Because, you know, if you're patient and you're able to keep this recruiting class, the tides will turn. You know, they will get better. Things will happen. But this year, I think you saw limitations of Graham Mertz's athletic ability. He's not Anthony Richardson out there. You know, he's not bad. And I think they just lack consistent playmakers. And you got an offensive line, which is talented, but just needs, you know, to get work things done. It's tough. You know, most of the SEC is playing a lot of their cupcakes this week. What a reverse, you know, and they play their tough game first before, you know, next week, you know, we'll be able to get the momentum against McNeese State.
Ryan, Chris, another news. You brought up the ACC, which is known as the Atlantic Coast Conference. They have approved expansion to add Stanford, Cal, and SMU, ending a month-long saga into an issue that divided the league. ACC was able to get 12 votes they needed from their 15 members to get this done, with NC State being rumored to flip among the four known no votes, which has also included North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson. Ryan, ACC is now bi-coastal.
Yeah, so it's going to work for football, Santiago. It always has, always will. You play one seat a week, you know, travel isn't that big of a deal. Where you see the problems is every sport we're probably not talking about, and that's the Olympic sports, that's soccer, that's, you know, whatever. All those other sports, you know. You're talking a lot of travel for teams that play frequently and, you know, and don't necessarily bring in a lot of money. But basically, Cal, Stanford come in at a reduced rate. So, meaning they're going to get more money from the TV partners for bringing these three teams. But Cal and Stanford are only going to take 30% of the money. Well, SMU has promised to be part of the conference and not take any of this TV money. So it was really a hard not to get all the votes, you know, because these schools are basically, you know, giving them more money for them to be in this conference. So money always wins. Money has won the last couple months. This craziness of college sports, and really is this, you know, the college sports landscape that we've known forever is just kind of just changed.
Do you agree with Tyler Turner that the Pac-12 is completely dead?
Oh yeah, it's dead. There's two teams left. They're probably gonna. You got Washington State and Oregon State are the two leftovers, and kind of sad for them. But they're the two smallest brands. They're the two, you know, they play in small markets. They don't get a lot of notoriety, and it's there's nothing against them. I think, especially football-wise, they're usually, you know, pretty good teams. I think Oregon State might be a team who will finish in the top four in the conference this year. I think they'll, a lot of them. But at the end of the day, they don't really generate the eyeballs on the TV. And that's really what matters in the end. So they're probably looking at a trip to the Mountain West with them in Washington State, which will be probably announced, I would say, very soon, maybe even today.
Yeah, it's a lot going on in college football news, but this doesn't take all this will not take an effect until next year or 2 years from now, right?
I believe it's going to start next year. All these realignments are starting up quick.
Quite interesting. Yeah, a lot going on there. Things are happening. Pac-12, we'll see what happens, what they do.
Yeah, with the, you know, first, you know, you just had USC, UCLA. We're going to leave for next year. But then once those Colorado left, and then those three other schools, you know, it was over, and it's, they really can't wait for another year because those schools are leaving now. So, yeah, things are changing, and they're changing quickly. So this is the last year of the Pac-12.
Yeah, this is the last year of the Pac-12.
And this might be the best year of Pac-12 football we've ever seen. So
we'll see in the next upcoming weeks. Let's switch to the NFL. Ryan, Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans set a deadline of September 9th one day before Tampa Bay's first regular season game to receive a new long-term contract. His agent said in a statement Friday, Evans, who entering the final year of his five-year contract, $82 million deal he signed in 2018, will cut off negotiations if he hasn't been extended by week one. A little bit of older Mike Evans, but your thoughts on this development story?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade him this year, especially if things don't go well for the Buccaneers. I really don't know. Like, I'm surprised he even would. I think he's probably giving a really high number because I don't think he really wants to be part of a long-term Buccaneers rebuild here. They went from the Super Bowl, the penthouse, and then they're going to go down. You know, this is going to be a tough year, I think, for the
with Baker Mayfield starting at the helm.
Yeah, that's not going to last very long. Kyle Trask will be starting soon enough, I think. But you guys see what you have in him and see. They'll give Baker a chance. I think Baker, with more experience, deserves the opportunity to go out there, see if they can make something of the season. You know, as the season's kind of getting away from them, which I think is the right time to insert Kyle Trask into the lineup.
Quite interesting. We'll see what happens with the Bucs the next couple of weeks. So September 9th, actually. Let's go into tight end. Minnesota has re-signed, agreed with TJ Hockenson for a four-year, $68.5 million extension, Ryan. They agree on terms. This will be $42.5 million guaranteed, and the average annual salary will be $17.125 million average annual value. Makes Hockenson the highest paid tight end in NFL history. It has been reshuffled with the tight end industry.
Yeah, this is interesting because this is a guy that got in a trade within their division with the Lions. If you ever get traded within your division, you're probably getting rid of this guy because, you know, he's not an asset. But, yeah, he was a nice thing, you know, unproductive Lions, but he definitely turned up his production value a lot. Good chemistry with Kirk Cousins, works good within their offense. So, the Vikings, you know, adding to this team that they could be great, or they could just, you know, Kirk Cousins could take a step back and it could be a really bad football team. You know, they're just one of those teams you literally can't predict because they're so, you know, they really rely so much on what Kirk Cousins gives them.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year for Hockenson. Not sure about the Vikings and Kirk Cousins, but the NFC North, let's get into the NFC North there. Obviously, the Packers are not with Aaron Rodgers no more, just Jordan Love. Then you got Chicago, Bears, Minnesota, and Detroit. Detroit looks like it's hopping. Who are your top two to get out? I mean, who are your top two for that conference? I mean, for that division?
Well, I think if you get what you could get from Kirk Cousins, I think the Vikings are the top. And I think the Lions are the second. You know, I think the Lions took major steps forward last year. Again, if they continue on that trend, they will, you know. And we're going to get to see them first, you know, in less than a week, next Thursday night, in Kansas City against the defending Super Bowl champion. So we'll definitely see what type of team that we're going to see next year from the Lions. But I definitely think them and the Vikings are definitely the two best teams. I think we're, you know, when they traded for Jared Goff, they really were trading to get a bridge quarterback. They get him through a year and then draft high. Well, they kind of liked what they got from Jared Goff, and they kind of want him to be the long-term quarterback. And with doing that, a lot of the Bills get some more assets of these early draft picks they got. So they're kind of building a good foundation there. And Dan Campbell is – Dan Campbell, you know, I talked about Kyle Willingham in Utah when we started the show. Dan Campbell's that same, you know, they want their identity to be tough. They want, you know, to bowl you around. That's the same thing with the Lions, you know. what he's building up there in Detroit. Kind of resembles what you think of a, as a Detroit football team.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. There will be a new look with Detroit, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Let's.
I think
okay.
Tried to line win the division this year.
There you have it. He picks it. All right, so let's go to each of the division real quick. Name your top. Well, who will win it, actually? Not top two. Who will win it? AFC East.
Okay.
Bills, Miami, New England, or New York Jets?
We're going to start with the toughest division first, Santiago.
It is pretty stacked. I would say it is way heavier than usual.
You know, we talked. If we had this show 10 years ago, we would say the Patriots and everybody else. Now it's like, it's kind of reversed. You know, it's the top three teams and the Patriots. I would tell you the Patriots aren't a team that's going to win the AFC East. But why? You can make a case, you know, the Bills are two-time defending champions. They've continued to build on their roster. Well, you know, you got the Jets, who had a really good team except for a quarterback last year, and they bring in Aaron Rodgers. So logic says they're going to continue to move forward. And then you got the Dolphins, who might have been the best team in the division until Tua got hurt. So, you know, if Tua stays healthy, if they were able to pull off that Jonathan Taylor trade, I would, that might have been my, you know, what I would say, get them over the top. I'm still, you know, maybe because I'm biased because I'm from Western New York, but I'm going to still say the Bills win the division.
The Bills still win the division. It is a fair pick. I cannot blame you. I hesitantly will say, everyone's saying the Jets, but I want to say the Dolphins. I think they have a chance.
If Tua can just be that point guard, like all that he's got to be, he doesn't have to make crazy throws. He just got to get the ball to Waddle and Hill and let them do their work. It's just a matter of him, you know, keeping healthy. Well, I would say the Dolphins, they had one really glaring weakness, and that's up front in the offensive line. And they did zero in free agency in the draft to really, I would say, solidify their holes. You're one bad hit away from Tua never playing football again. So I thought they would make that as a priority. They didn't. I think overall they build up, still keep on building this roster up. Keeping Wilson there as kind of that third wide receiver is big. But I could definitely make a case, but you can make a case for the top three teams. The third place finisher, you know, it's a good chance to still make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. AFC North, Ryan, Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns, or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you think will win that division?
I think Steelers continue to take. It's hard not to pick the Steelers because it's the most consistent franchise in the NFL year in and year out.
Winnable record. Over 500 every year.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a rookie quarterback, and you know, they barely just missed out on the playoffs. But then you got the Ravens, who might have been the best team in the league until, you know, Lamar Jackson gets hurt. And, you know, so he stays healthy. Yeah. Because then you bring in a, you know, potential playmaker in OBJ. But then you just got the Bengals, who've been balling out for 2 years. Yeah. Joe Burrow looks like he's okay.
Yeah, he got injured with his calf. But he's back in practice.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of cast and there's a little bit of sourness he hasn't gotten his big deal yet. For the Bengals, who might be the... his calf maybe not as bad as people think it is. And he was just kind of making a point that, yeah, I wanted that big contract. I'll play, but I want that money. Well-deserved. He deserves it. if other quarterbacks have gotten the contract, you know, the problem is that the Bengals are, you know, are one of the cheapest organizations and definitely not usually willing to give those crazy guaranteed money, you know, contracts. But if they want to keep, you know, winning and they like winning, they'll do it. But going back to the fact, yes, I think the Bengals keep on winning that division.
I keep on winning it. I thought you were going to go for with the Steelers, but you're going to stick with the Bengals, the current front runner.
This is the two toughest divisions, I think, in football. So I think the rest of them are, I feel like, more confident in my picks, I think.
Like the NFC South. All right, AFC West, this division, you're very – no, AFC South. Like, we'll first go into that one. Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans. Who do you got winning there?
This is a two-team race. You know, last year they played, you know, week 17 for a winner, take all game. All signs, you know, I'm going to believe the hype. Jaguars are going to keep the momentum they built in the offseason. In this season, you know, they beat the Titans. They go and make a crazy comeback against the Chargers and really play the Chiefs, you know, neck and neck for most of that whole game in the playoffs. I think they continue to build it. I think they win the division. I think the window's closed, Santiago. I think Ryan Tannehill, time might be up in Tennessee. I think if things don't go well, you're probably going to see Will Levis get a lot of action this year. But again, another team that prides themselves on bully ball. If Henry stays healthy, you never know. I would not be surprised if the Titans win, but I'm going to pick the Jaguars.
The Jaguars, safe pick, Trevor Lawrence. AFC West, a division you're very, very familiar with. Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, Las Vegas Raiders, and the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a tough one as well. Who do you got?
Well, Santiago, as we get into September, I think there's usually a text that you usually get. Is somebody else going to win in AFC West? And I usually say, probably not. It's going to be the Chiefs. And my answer is, they're still going to win this.
They know how to pace themselves, don't they?
Yeah. As long as Pat's back there, they're the best team on the field, you know? Quarterbacks matter. Coaches matter. For that reason, I think the Chargers got one out of two. I think they got a great quarterback. I think they just got a crappy coach.
You agree with Victor. You do not like Brandon Staley.
He makes the game about him. Like, he makes crazy calls. He just stays, you know.
Don't go for it on fourth down. Well, you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he ruins a lot of it, which I usually don't mind. I'm not a big Chargers guy. But, you know, I think if they had a more consistent coach, I would definitely say they would be on par with the Chiefs, because I think they have another great roster. They might have top to bottom the best roster in the NFL, you know, from playmakers on all levels, on offense, all levels on defense. It's just consistency week in and week out, and that, I think that comes down to coaching. That's my team. I will root hard.
New coach, to go Sean McVay.
Sean Payton. Sean McVay.
Sorry. You wish it was Sean McVay.
I told you. I'd be okay with Sean McVay. As long as it's not Nathaniel Hackett, I'm okay. like I said, coaching matters. I think Payton matters. He's a good coach. I think, you know, he's going to put him in a good position. We saw Russell Wilson play last year, and it was well below what we expected. If we get the Russell Wilson that we saw mostly in Seattle, yeah, there's a chance the team could make a run at the wild card, you know, get to 10 wins. I just don't see it still. Because I can't unsee what I saw last year from Russell Wilson. But I know Sean Payton's going to get more out of him. So I'm optimistic, but reserved. So I think the Broncos still finish in third place. And the Raiders, I think, are just kind of talented. They got Josh Jacobs back. Jimmy Garoppolo is a winner. in San Francisco. Let's see if he can do it in Las Vegas. And I'm obviously, maybe because I've got bad memories of Josh McDaniels, I don't think he's a great head coach. We'll see. Again, I just think they're coming last place.
Wow. There you have it. You know, we won't be seeing Garoppolo in the playoffs.
I don't think so. I mean, this is football, San Diego. It's nothing at the end of the day would surprise me. Because everybody starts 0-0. Next, you know, 6 days from now, they kick it off. Most teams will kick off, you know, on next Sunday. But everybody starts even, and we'll let it play out.
There you have it. Let's go to the controversial NFC East. The Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Commanders. A new ownership of the Commanders. They just sold out their first game of the season against the Cardinals. First time in a while. Who do you got for the NFC East?
Nice story. I think they'll be a fun team to watch. Sam Howell, he might have some potential. I mean, you got to beat the, you know, defending conference champions, Eagles. I just don't see it. I think they might be the most well-run organization. You know, definitely the NFC. You could say Pennsylvania rules the best organization because the Steelers might be the most consistent in the AFC, and the Eagles are probably the most consistent there. They're always right there. They make smart moves. They're always ahead of the game. With that saying, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Cowboys win the division. I'd be surprised if anybody else. I know the Giants made it to the playoffs. I just think they got lucky on some of the scheduling and teams they played last year. I think there's some bitterness that Saquon Barkley hasn't got his big contract and Daniel Jones did. I'm not a big believer in Daniel Jones, so we'll see. They're basically the Bills about west, they're about east, you know, because they took, you know, most of their front office, and then they got a lot of the Bills' secondhand, you know, players. But I would not be surprised to see them not make the playoffs, but I also would not be surprised to see them make the playoffs. But I definitely think the Eagles win the division.
Eagles win. Jalen Hurts continues his hurrah in Philadelphia. You already picked Detroit winning the NFC North. Let's go into the NFC South, which contains Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, the New Orleans Saints, Chris Olave, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield.
This is a tough division for the opposite reason why those other divisions are tough. I don't think there's a good football team in this division, though.
It's a wide open one, you're trying to say.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I'm going to eliminate the Panthers. You know, they got a rookie quarterback. Bryce Young is, you know, could be a star. But I just don't see them win division. We talked about Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers kind of feeling the effects of, you know, Stanley Cup Olympics there for a while, and now they're kind of paying the price. Falcons, I think, are heading in the right direction. I think they might be the team that's actually on the rise. Then you kind of got the Saints, who brought in a good, you know, David Carr, who is above average quarterback. So that's why I'm going to go with the Saints to win the division. Not because I fully believe in the Saints, but somebody's got to win the division.
So who's your final pick?
Saints.
The Saints. All right. Chris Olave. Don't forget him. NFC West, Arizona Cardinals. Suspiciously planning to tank. They got the Los Angeles Rams. Cup, who just got a hamstring injury, might be out for a little bit, not much. San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy is back in action. And, of course, Seattle Seahawks with Geno Smith. Who do you got for that division?
Rams, Cardinals, not very good teams. Cardinals, you talked about. And they're in a really weird situation because usually you're tanking to get a quarterback. They just signed Kyler Murray a huge contract last year, paying him a whole bunch of money. you know, the tank, are you going to be able to say no to Caleb Williams in the draft? I don't know. That's going to be a discussion for April, Santiago. But, again, you know, Rams are another team paying the price for overspending on the cap. You got an aging quarterback in Matt Stafford. And then you got the Seahawks, which I think were an overachieving team last year. A nice throw at Geno Smith. So it just makes sense that the 49ers are the favorite and they shouldn't win this division.
There you have it. He said it. He said it. The 49ers will go all the way. The 2023.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Looking at a 49ers Chiefs Super Bowl.
No, can't be. I don't see the Chiefs going back again, Ryan. I think going back, it's just very difficult in the NFL. Other sports, maybe a little bit more better chance, but not in football.
Yeah, you might be right. And I would say you're right because every time, you know, there's only, 7 teams to make the playoffs in the NFL. And you suck. There's probably 13 legitimate great quarterbacks in the AFC, Santiago. It is loaded. It's tough. So, you know, there's going to be quite a few teams in the AFC I think are good teams that just don't make the playoffs. That's why I'm talking about the Broncos. They could take a step forward and still be left out of the party at the end of the day in January. Same thing, you know, I suspect all 3 teams in the AFC East are going to make it, but there's no guarantee.
There's never a guarantee. Anyways, anything else before we move on to the FIBA World Cup?
I know.
Okay. Well, there is a FIBA World Cup. There is basketball going on, men's basketball going on in August and in September. Team USA this morning beat Montenegro 85-73. Anthony Edwards, Ryan, had 17 points. Mikal Bridges, 10. Jaren Jackson Jr., 11. Austin Reeves, Laker guy, 12 points. Tyrese Haliburton, 10 points. But this team looks like it's Anthony Edwards' team.
Anthony Edwards and, you know, Reeves are really stepping up for Team USA. Obviously, this is not Team A USA basketball, but these are, I would
this
say,
this is
the
a B-plus team.
I think it's a B-plus because I think they're not. They're definitely not stars in the NBA, but they're going to be tomorrow's stars, you know, when LeBron is done, when Curry is done. These are the guys that are going to be the next face of the NBA. And Anthony Edwards is quite on his way, you know, to being there. Austin Reeves, I don't know if it'll be anybody's face of the NBA, but he's definitely a nice story for sure.
Yeah. It's
another player, Tommy Vaccaro. Who could, you know, they need him to be in the face of the Orlando Magic here. The Magic want to find themselves out of the basement.
Yeah, exactly. But this is all very good for these players to get some playing time and hopefully win the FIBA World Cup. Obviously, there's a tournament every 2 years. The Olympics one is the main one, and then the World Cup. So it's every other 2 years, just like in other international sports. Ryan, this segment. Yeah, go ahead.
Really interesting with this is because, like, to actually make it, it's usually, like, I would say a C. Most, no NBA players is on the team that qualified for the World Cup. So they bring in a bunch of international USA players playing overseas. I think it was coached, I want to say, by Jeff Van Gundy last summer. so that's the team that actually qualified for the World Cup. Then our actual World Cup roster would, you know, be your secondary stars. And then the hope is for the Olympics that a lot of these same players will transition as they get, you know, get older, more experienced into the Olympic team. Mixed in with, you know, your Kevin Durant and Curry's and all that.
We'll save him for the Olympics.
Yeah.
There you have it. Ryan, we were talking about a week ago. I went to an USL, which is a soccer second division league right below MLS, went to a Miami FC versus Tampa Bay Rowdies. And My cousin plays for the Rowdies, by the way. So I was thinking about the Rhinos, and I was doing some research, and I noticed the Reiner that the Rhinos deceased in operations this year. Actually, Ryan, what happened with the Rhinos? They were a staple up in your hometown of Rochester.
Yeah, so they went, you know, obviously a classic team, always on the borderline of making it to MLS. They built this soccer stadium. Finally got it. They thought that was the key to get to the MLS, and just never happened. Never got the. They got all this community support, and then they built the stadium, and it kind of disappeared. Eventually had to move to, you talked about USL. They actually moved to USL 2, I would say, as, you know, maybe about 10 years ago. Had decent success. We're actually coached by Christian Pulisic's dad. But then, you know, they bought by his new owners a couple years before that, who asked, our local people actually have connections to, or actually one minority owners of the Sacramento Kings back when they were, history story, the Kings used to, 70 years ago, used to be in Rochester, and then that family kind of, yeah, they told it before they moved, several times before they got to Sacramento. Anyways, they weren't well managed. They stopped for a couple years. Came back last year, playing in a smaller stadium, had actually pretty good fan support, you know, 3,000-4,000 playing in USL 2. So they were basically playing the B squads of all the MLS teams. So, you know, they were playing Union 2, Toronto FC 2, Revolution, you know, and then, you know, basically to themselves. Had pretty good success. And then, you know, and then just before the season started, they said they kind of put it together financially for this year, and then they pretty much said they never will. So that's the end. In the middle, to kind of revive the franchise, is European star Jamie Vardy actually put a lot of money into the Rhinos, this organization, to try to revamp it. It just didn't happen.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, so we have another team in Rochester, Flower City Union, which plays in NISA, which is kind of a equivalent to USL 2, just another platform. So it's not owned by other MLS clubs mostly, just all independent clubs, which is it makes for good entertainment. My 7-year-old son loves to be is one of the ball boys on our team, so we enjoy a lot of summer nights. My wife loves it because she loves a good book to read. That's what she loves to come to soccer for. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It's a win-win situation. Well, soccer is still going in Rochester, maybe with a different name, title, team name, but it definitely rolls on.
Can Messi get on Miami into the playoffs?
You know, that's a good question. We have to kind of win out. The draw, we had a draw this past Wednesday against the Nashville SC. It was probably actually his first match that he did not score. I think there is a possibility, but we might have been worn out already after going through the Leagues Cup and the U.S. Open Cup. So, you know, we won the Leagues Cup, which is great. Now we got the U.S. Yeah. Open Cup. Maybe those two trophies will be sufficient for the season.
Yeah, I think that you're setting a good foundation. You know, I think there'd be a point, you know, like you said, they don't. It looks like they're not going to win those games of the playoffs. So they could be kind of more selective in the matches he plays. Or maybe not playing a full 90 all the time, you know. So, you know, and then, you know, be fully stocked his roster. Because obviously there's going to be demand, I think, to kind of team up with Messi here in Miami. So I think next year's roster is going to be very good.
Definitely. And guess what? From the Inter Miami club, we had the most players in the MLS getting called up for international duty. So that's saying something.
Yeah. I just, unfortunately, they built themselves too big of a hole before they got Messi, you know? So
exactly. We were the worst team before Messi came. After he came, we might be the best team, technically speaking.
I don't know if that's good news for the MLS, knowing that a guy in his, you know, mid to late 30s is able to be, transform a team from worst to first.
Good point there.
Story.
Good point. I would have to give credit also Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba definitely helping out. They're still kind of in their prime, maybe at the end of their prime, but they're still looking good.
Yeah, I think right now they're a fun team. You know, the last thing, thank goodness, thank you for T-Mobile for free MLS pass.
True.
You know, so definitely watch. Yeah.
I wish I had T-Mobile. I have AT&T, but it's okay. Anyways.
T-Mobile Tuesday. Yeah, I go T-Mobile Tuesdays. I got free MLB baseball and free MLS soccer. So
I might have to switch to them now thinking about it. Maybe hopefully that will continue for next season.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You could switch over to Verizon and get a free NFL Sunday ticket, you know. So yeah.
I did not know that. Wow. AT&T offers no sports packages.
As far as I know. They just have those NCAA basketball commercials.
True. Well, Ryan, anything else before we head off on this beautiful September 1st, Labor Day weekend, upcoming Labor Day weekend?
Yeah. It's a big weekend if you're a college football fan. And, you know, they're kind of the main focus. There's no NFL preseason game. So we started last night. We'll have games tonight, tomorrow. Sunday night's a big one down in Orlando, Santiago, Florida State, LSU.
And yep, then, that's, you know, the only big game this Monday weekend.
And then, yeah, it's not the greatest week one slate. You know, I'm not going to lie, but I take decent to bad college football over most things in the world. So
true. And also one last prediction, who will win the college football playoffs this year?
Oh, that's
national championship.
I'm not really going out on a limb by saying the Georgia Bulldogs, but the thing with Georgia, though, Santiago, is their schedule is so bad. I just think they're going to be very well rested towards the end of the season when they start playing summer tough games. You know,
it's almost coronation.
Yeah, they're really good, and they got a really easy schedule. I just don't see them being tested really until Tennessee later in the year, and then the SEC championship game, you know, but by the time they play the SEC championship game, who they play is probably a team that's going to be worn out because, you know, whether it's LSU, Alabama, whoever comes out of the West, they're going to play all these ridiculously tough games to get there, and they're going to, you know, they're going to beat each other up. Well, Georgia's going to be pretty fresh.
Good point there. Definitely something to chew on. We'll see what happens. College football is changing the game a little bit. TV, NIL.
Yeah.
It looks like a professional league sometimes.
We have 3:30 tomorrow on CBS. There's an SEC football. It's Indiana and Ohio State. I mean, it's kind of been a staple forever, 3:30 on CBS, but that's a different world.
Change of the times. Well, Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the FIBA World Cup?
Mad Dog Report. Hey, another shout out to FIBA, though. My man Luka Doncic leading Slovenia over a big victory today over Australia. So, you know, they're continuing their success.
And also, where's James Harden going?
China. I love him over there.
That's true. There have been getting some players there. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on X and also on Instagram. No show on Mondays, Labor Day. So everyone take a break, and we'll be back next week. Full week next week. NFL starts. That's all. It changes the game, the landscape, the atmosphere, and we'll see who will prop up. Anyways, Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
All right. Thanks for having me, Tanya. Have a good weekend.
And this was your update. Happy Labor Day.